Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of State of Our Nation. The entertainment sector has been one of the sectors that have been hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. As soon as the numbers start to rise, it seems to be like one of the first areas that government seeks to curtail to ensure that they mitigate the spread of the virus. Now, recently, they would have been given a bit of a reprieve. And that would have been since last December, and they would have been given a bit of a reprieve in the form of limited events allowed to hold 150 persons, and these persons have to be vaccinated, etc. However, as soon as another outbreak has begun, well, we can't quite call it an outbreak as yet, a spike in cases, we are now seeing a further curtailment of that sector. I have with me one of the veterans in the business, Mr. Chetwin Stewart. Just give me the name of the organization again. Mr. Stewart is the Barbados Masqueraders Association.
Right now I'm speaking on behalf of Chetwin Stewart, promoter over 40 years, managing director of Paul Bay 4, over 25 years, bringing costume band. I take a lot of hats right now, but I'm no longer the president of BAM.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email e-paper support at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Let's look at the situation as it is right now. You guys just had a chance to, you know, maybe try to feel your way back into the industry after a long time of not being able to hold any events. Now, you know, it's now back to wait and see. How are you guys faring at this moment?
Obviously, it's very difficult, very, very difficult, but there's not really an option. I mean, it's not just the entertainment industry, is that right? If you have to go in from 11 to 5 in the morning, you know, everybody's going to be affected by it. But we in the entertainment industry, you know, have been hit very, very hard. And yes, we had a kind of a reprieve to do events with 150 people. I mean, but there's not every promoter that could do an event with 150 people. Some promoters can't because, you know, logistically, it's very difficult for them to make money, but a lot can. So we were very thankful that we were able to go and plan events. But no, yes, you know, right away, it's been shut down. Basically, it's not that it's shut down forever. We have to roll with the punches like everybody else. So most of the time with promoters, a lot of people see the events, but they don't see the work that we put in before the event. So I know promoters right now are still planning their events and stuff. There might have been one or two cancellations, but we will have to continue planning and hoping, you know, that we open back up soon. This is a situation that is fluid. Things are changing every day. I mean, we don't suspect that it's going to continue like this. Governments all over the world making decisions. I just saw Macron came out and said from August, he shut it down in terms of he opening up, but only people who are vaccinated could come out and go to bars and go, you know, to cinemas and go out. You either have to be vaccinated or you have to have a test. And Macron said that he's not even paying for the test. So he's made a decision, you know, if nurses not vaccinated, they start home. I mean, it's something that's going to be happening all over the world, different things in different countries, but I don't suspect that the situation is going to remain the same for us right through. So it's a wait and see situation, and we don't have a choice. We have to wait and see and hope for the best.
There are some who would like to bring the positive view that the entertainment sector appears to be low-hanging fruit. And by that I mean, you know, when you're looking to curtail, I mean, any spikes or so on, the first air sector that you look to pick at or hit at is the entertainment sector. And statistically speaking, I mean, with the exception of the bus crawl, the entertainment sector has not been at the forefront of most of the super spreaders. It's, as a matter of fact, you have more super spreaders coming from the churches. Do you feel that, I mean, and I'm being devil's advocate here. This is not my view, and this is the view that is being posited by some. Do you feel that's a fair assessment? Do you think that you're being, the entertainment sector is being targeted in any way?
No, not at all. You see, a lot of people don't understand the entertainment sector. And basically, the entertainment sector actually kind of drives the economy. I mean, we are the ones where we put on events that, you know, people are paid. Sometimes we don't make a cent, but, you know, security, staff, lighting, song, staging, you know, all the stores that you see shut down in Swan Street now, when we start doing events, they can start to travel. They're going to bring in clothes. They can rehire the girls in the store. The girls are going to be making money, and they can get the hair, do the nails, do, you know, they can buy a new outfit every week because of social media. Can't really see them. You know, that's what we do. The protocols obviously will affect us because the entertainment industry is soon. We bring out people socially. You know, I can't do event without people. People come out to support the event, the dance, the drink, the party and stuff. So if you put protocols in place, obviously we were the first ones to get affected. So you don't see as anybody targeting us. The reality is that we have the potential because we bring out people to make it worse. And that is being realistic. So whether or not there have been cases coming out to entertainment or the churches or whatever, the point is any event that brings people together, especially, you know, dancing and a close-up to one another, and they're not going to be very masked and stuff, has the potential of causing a greater spread. So obviously it's the protocols that we have to adhere to. I don't think the protocols are just, you know, based for the entertainment sector. So I don't see that as a fair analysis.
Yeah, well said. As I said, I do agree with you that that's the thing, but that, at least that was some of the views. And I guess you have to understand when persons' livelihoods are being affected, you know, they tend to say these things. But speaking of livelihoods, how do you see the entertainment landscape looking when it does get back on stream? I know that, for example, with other businesses, you have a lull for too long, and when it's time to reopen, they don't have the capabilities to reopen. The entertainment sector, do you have any fear that there'll be quite a few persons dropping off the map as it relates to the entertainment landscape when this all reopens?
Yes, actually, we've had a few casualties already, and there will be many more. I mean, you know, there's no denying it. I had a sound guy who told me he had to sell all his equipment at half price, because he needed the money. You know, he had a mortgage, he got children, you know, he had expenses. So when we open back up, he has no equipment, so he can't go back into that field. There are many people who are going to fall, by the way, but there are many that will survive. There are even many that went, by the way, in the past, and that now are coming back because they can do small events. The reason why they were out of it is because all the big events were happening and nobody was going to these little events and stuff. So, you know, but yes, many people will fall by the way in the entertainment sector. That is a no-brainer, but, you know, we have to do what we have to do and try to, for those of us who are resilient, you know, try to bounce back. And, you know, don't just sit down, you know, you have to plan. I always say, you know, we don't up and just do an event. We plan. So therefore you have to plan for worst case. You have to plan for best case. And hopefully, you know, because we are in a risky business. A lot of times people ask me what I do for a living. I tell them I solve problems, because don't care how I plan event. It could be safest event in my mind, but something is going to happen. And it's how I react to that and decisions I made and the calls that I made that, you know, help me to survive.
Now, if we may switch gears to crop over a bit now, you know, we're in the height of the crop over season, doesn't feel that way. We're having some, you know, virtual events and so on, but it is no doubt that there is no comparison. Now, from the limited understanding I have of players within the crop over sector, you obviously need some lead time in order to have that event, in order to bring out a band, in order to bring out big events for that festival, that major festival, that $88 million festival. The issue is, without the say-so of the minister, I am sure the band producers and so on could have pretty much, without the award from the government earlier on in the year, that there wasn't going to be a crop over in the true sense of the word. because they didn't have that lead time. What type of lead time would you need at this moment, band producers and other players in the sector, to be able to say, well, okay, yes, we can start planning for a crop over for 2022?
Well, first, let me correct you about that figure, because I keep hearing that figure about $88 million. The last time that the figure came out about what crop over generates in the economy, it was $55 million US dollars, 110 million Barbados. So I don't know where this idiot coming from. And we know that it's even more than that. So okay. I just want to clarify that. But going to your point, we normally need like a year to start planning a band. I mean, it can be done in less, but the lead time that we need is like a year. But I mean, you know, right now we know there's no crop over. It's time people stop talking about crop over, because there won't be a crop over this year. There will be events, you know, as the Prime Minister said, but we are not going to even call it crop over or call it a festival, because we don't want people to get the wrong impression, first of all. So there are going to be events, hopefully, but there wouldn't be a crop over. But for band producers, we need a lot of time, because, you know, we produce costumes, and you don't just produce them right away. You have to put out a lot of money, and you have to market your product early and stuff like that. So as much time as possible is why we say right now, no one knows, you know, what is going to, you know, happen next year. We're keeping our fingers crossed. I really feel there will be a crop over next year. But again, you know, yeah, you have to wait and see. But all like, no, you know, you have to start. I mean, I personally will start planning for crop over next year. I already started, you know, because it's not one this year. But I personally will start working on it from, say, October, you know, for crop over. Because you have to. You know, it may or may not come off of me. Last year, I spent a lot of time working on crop over for this year. All four of my kids, I know, directors of part before we formed the committee, they designs all kind of stuff. You know, it didn't happen. So it got a hold on, you know, for next year. But in terms of bands, and a lot of the bands now are, you can kind of say, international bands, and they're bringing a lot of people from overseas, and people need to plan the vacation and stuff. So normally those bands get out there really, really, really early, you know. So it's something that you have to plan early. We had a band last year that had over 500 people registered, and then crop over was canceled, you know. So it's hard, but that's what you have to do. You have to start early.
You mentioned something. You mentioned that you believe that there's going to be a crop over, and you have already started to plan as such. What gives you that confidence? I mean, I have not seen anything that would indicate that there might be. But you maybe have know something. You may know something I don't know.
Well, I won't say that I know anything. But from the time the virus came about, I followed very carefully, and I keep following, so I could only make my decisions. Because again, as a promoter, and as a promoter over 40 years, I've learned that I have to risk, and I have to take chances, but calculated chances. So I have to monitor and see how things are going. And the way how things are going, I feel some drastic measures are going to be taken, especially in terms of vaccination and stuff. And I've said months ago that by the end of the year, you know, people traveling on planes can go be fully vaccinated. People doing X, Y, Z can go be fully vaccinated. Actually, some of the plans that I have, I plan both parties for this 150. I plan fully vaccinated events. Why? Because I have patrons who don't like the strict protocols, and a fully vaccinated event, the protocols will be a lot better in terms of an event that some people are not vaccinated, and for any time to get from a table, they go wear a mask, or they can't dance, or they can't do X, Y, Z. You know, I also have patrons who don't feel safe coming out among people who are not vaccinated. That's the reality. Everybody has a choice. You can't blame a man for not being vaccinated or one for being vaccinated. But the point is, if I take the option of being vaccinated, I have been vaccinated people around me, I train vaccinated events, that is my option. You know, I hear some people saying, oh, die in fear. I mean, life in fear. But the point is, the same way how some people have a right not to take it, I have a right to take the vaccination and do events with vaccinated people. And I do not see, and this is the thing, I do not see us continually shutting down, because then the effect of that can even be worse than the virus. You know, we have to open up. People have to work. You could tell them, I already don't work a year because of virus and stuff. But when the man wake up and the children hungry and the wife hungry, and he got to go there and make some money, he can go and he can make some money. And hopefully he can try to do it legally. the reality is that we can't stay locked down all the time, or we can't be starting up and going back all the time for the economy. And that's where you can see big countries now doing what Macron just do. You know, they can't go on. So basically, get vaccinated or stay home. You know, but, you know, you got nurses, you got, up to yesterday, I was talking to a doctor friend of mine, you know, I told me at the hospital, you know, a lot of nurses are vaccinated. I was talking to a police friend of mine, a lot of policemen are vaccinated. That is their choice. But at the end of the day, if I run in the government and I got to look out for the people, I got to make some hard decisions. So therefore, I have to get the economy up and stuff. And the only way I could get the economy up is by people coming out and working and people spending their money. So I don't see this going on until next year. It's not possible. We wouldn't survive.
Do you think your fellow promoters share the same confidence that, you know, we're going to have that festival next year as well?
Everybody's different. Huh? So we have some promoters that, you know, haven't been in the business like me for 40 years or maybe not too long come and start doing events. And their perspective on things can be totally different because they could only do event one way. You know, they have four or five partners. They do one thing in it, whatever, whatever. They didn't come up like a lot of the other promoters who came up doing events on our own and doing events with 30, 40, 50 people. So they can't do an event with 150 and they can have different opinions. But the reality is that people got to stop just thinking about themselves and think about the bigger picture. When I talk, I think about Barbados. I think about my brothers. I want every promoter to do well. I want everybody to go there and do events. Why? Because when they start doing events, people are going to be paid, and these same people are going to be paid. These same girls and stuff are the ones who come to me next year and pay down on a costume and come out to the events and stuff. We need events. We need things to happen. It's hard to sit down there and quarrel and blah, 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 but you don't have an option. If a protocol is put in and say, well, look, you can't do something with over 150 people, you can't do something with over 100 people. Whether or not it's because, you know, as we said, a lot of people are when do contact tracing. Anytime it's over 150 people, you do contact tracing. A lot of people are not putting down the real name. You know, they're not putting down the information. And therefore, it's difficult to contact trace. So you can't risk doing over 150 people. My issue with that, though, is that from ever since I said you should be taking down people's ID number, you can't leave people to go to an event and tell them to write in the name, write in the telephone number, write in the address, and expect to get the right information. When I'm in Miami or South Beach and I'm going into a club, I have to show my ID because if any club is caught with somebody on the age in there, they can be shut down, right? I have to show my driver's license, right? So I'm saying the same thing could be done in Barbados. Take down the ID numbers and let us be able to get more people out in the event than the 150.
We had hit on the same crop over and a lead time that you might need. Would you say, like, let's say by March next year, if the government gives the go-ahead by March next year, yes, we can have a crop over. Is that enough time, or do you need maybe by January?
The thing is, we need more time, but the reality is that band leaders will get it done. Some will, most will, right? And have some that will get it done 4 months before, but the reality is you need a lot more time to do it properly. And that's why I try to explain to people all the time. You know, you can do events, but it's not just doing events. At what level, at what standard you do the event? The more time you have, the better you can pull off the event. I mean, if somebody was to tell me right now, I could take people on the road the end of August, I could take people on the road. They won't have a fancy costume like normally. They might have, you know, a sign be put together, whatever, whatever. It could be done, but it would be nothing of the standard that we are accustomed to doing. So therefore, you know, and if people are put in place, if something's put in place and you tell band leaders next year, March, they're going to put a band on the road, they can make it happen. But it's not enough to do it properly. And it's not enough time, obviously, for the bands who deal with the overseas people, you know, to get out there to them and for them to make a decision, yes, I come in. So as I said before, the time that we need to know, you know, is early. But in this pandemic, you really can't expect to get an answer from anybody right now.
Okay. My final question to you, Mr. Stewart. Just like the airline sector, the pent-up demand, I mean, they are expecting, and they have started to see some windfall, financial windfall, as a result of the pent-up demand. Destinations have, this winter season, quite a bit of pre-bookings, advanced bookings, rather, and they are quite hopeful for the tourism sector, at least to at least get back on some even keel. Do you expect a similar windfall and because of the pent-up demand for entertainment, because Barbadians, because every people around the world have been starved of the option of partying in Barbados. Do you think that basically it's going to be a massive windfall for the entertainment sector when it does open up?
Well, we know that that is obvious, and that is, you've been seeing some of that already. I mean, people just want to come out. The question is, though, is whether or not you're going to be able to sustain it. Because, yes, we know that from the time the green light is given, everybody may out, everybody could be coming to Barbados, whatever. But the question is now, with the Delta variant and the English coming and stuff, how much, you know, spikes we can have, if we can kind of put in the protocols again, whatever. That is the question. But there's no doubt about it that people want. You know, people want to be out. People want to just get out. I actually went out last night, you know, and I saw people, you know, out and just liming and drinking and just walk. We are social people, you know. We like to be out. So that is a no-brainer. People, as soon as you get the green light, people are going to be out.
All right, Mr. Stewart, I really want to thank you. And I would like to tell my viewers that you actually agreed to do this last minute. So, again, we really appreciate you taking the time and coming to really speak to us and setting us straight on a few facts within the entertainment sector.
Yes, you're welcome. I mean, at the stage I'm at right now, I'm willing to do anything to help Barbados. I mean, I think we all got to come together and do the best that we can do.
Well, there you have it, folks. And again, I want to wish everyone a pleasant day, a pleasant and productive day, that is, and hope that everyone, whatever they put their minds and hearts to, they can accomplish. Again, thank you for joining us.